Welcome to Bookin' It. Today's episode will be Love What Lasts. Hey everyone, welcome back to Bookin' It. That was the second time doing that intro, and the second time, we got it, folks. We got it. Anyway, yeah. I'm your eloquent host, Cooper Cobbs. Joining me today are two fine fellows, Tanner Lewis.
Howdy.
And Bryson Boswick.
Hey, everybody.
Mr. Isaiah Retzky is out again this week doing college stuff. We recorded a lot of episodes on one day, and he was gone for all of them. Sad face. But he's getting ahead, putting on his big boy pants, making some of himself in the world, so... Happy rum. Okay.
Mind making something yours.
Yeah. Doing school. Making progress in education. We love education here. Speaking of education, I was educated when I read this book. So we don't normally do nonfiction, but this book is about art, and so I feel like it was somewhat relevant to our conversations.
Very relevant.
So what happened was this book, Love It Lasts, How to Save Your Soul from Mediocrity, was a book that mom read and that she gave to me. And I reluctantly picked up and loved. So what happened was this guy named Josh Gibbs, he's a writer, he's a classical educator. He's been around in, you know, the kind of circles that we walk in, just our moms walk in for a long time.
Like my mom had already heard about him. She was like, oh, who's
that? Exactly. And mom had like read me snippets of his book and other books and clips from his articles. And I always thought he was a pretentious jerk. I'll confess that. I did not like his writing. I thought that he was overly smart and knew it. Anyway, that was wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I repent.
He is very intellectual. For sure.
But I think I just misread his motives and other things like that. Anyway, coming to this book, he basically said everything that I agree with mostly and loved. So we're talking about kind of his main ideas and how it's affected us. Bryce and I have read the book. Tanner is not, but he should. And,
what they're telling you is that I am the mediocre person.
Yes, that's true. Speaking of, Bryson, can you give an outline of the book? Obviously, it's called Love What Lasts, but what does he mean by that?
Yeah, so he's talking about subtitle, Why Should We Save Our Souls from Mediocrity?
Yeah.
First, he goes through and explains, he tackles like each form of art and how it has affected us as Americans, as a culture, and just throughout all of history. Then he goes through and tackles three different categories and explains that all of the art that has been produced fits into one of these three categories, which are...
And obviously there is, you know, some overlap, it's nuance.
Which are mediocre things, common things, and uncommon things. Mediocre being things that we should not ingest or that are taken in far too often. And it's like a bag of Doritos that just is constantly being eaten over and over again. It is not healthy to be...
Fast food art.
Yeah, to be eating that all the time. To be eating that soul food, as Indy Wilson puts it. Then common things are the things that build us up very, very slowly but surely. They're just stepping stones. They're
your average, everyday, normal things. Don't harm, don't hurt.
Yeah.
Good time fillers.
Yes, exactly.
There's those kind of books that your mom gives you when you're like seven and you're reading way too many things to be able to read all the good stuff. And so she's giving you books just to like, so she can find the good stuff.
And
you know,
most of what we read and most of what we talk about on this podcast
is going to be common. Right.
Like we were just talking about
Indy Wilson,
Outlaws of Time. Those are common books.
Common books, but solidly common. Solidly,
yes.
It doesn't mean like halfway to mediocre, by the way.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
It's not even halfway between. It's just...
It's not saying that that it's something that we shouldn't invest any time in. Like, we're going to invest the most time in this out of everything.
Correct. We're going to live most of our days in common days. You know, every day is Sunday, but every day is Easter.
Yeah, he really dives into that as well, just talking about, like, every part of life can be categorized into one
this
of these.
This is a very broad categorization. So he's not just using high art and low art.
Yeah.
It's very nuanced, and he walks through it.
Yeah, so then the last section is about uncommon things, which are the things that are going to build us up drastically. It's like eating your ribeye or, I mean, whatever.
Your veggies. The good food.
Yes, the really good stuff that you also are not going to be consuming every day.
Right.
You shouldn't. Because that can also be, it can be unhealthy if you're consuming too
much. You're eating rich food at every single meal.
Then the common things, or the common things of life, aren't going to appeal to you anymore.
Right.
If all you're eating is steak every day, you're no longer going to appreciate your mom's cooking.
Right.
Because it just isn't going to be the same.
I don't know about you. My mom's cooking is uncommon. So, no, I'm kidding. love you, Mom. It's good stuff. Like, it really is. Yeah. It is. And she cooks for me a lot because of dietary things.
Yeah.
And, I mean, all my friends have this idea that Mom's a great cook, and she is.
Oh, she is.
It's well-deserved. So, anyway, just wanted to defend my mom against your allegations.
You can eat her food. I can eat her food. We can all eat her food. It's great food.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's one thing your mom makes that is uncommon.
Is it?
It's her meatballs.
Oh, yeah. Heck yes.
I can tell you that immediately, without a doubt.
100%. Mom's meatballs are classy. Okay.
I don't think I've ever had them.
Graduation. We need to have these. Dude, every time we had like an end-of-the-year celebration, Mom would make these meatballs.
Really?
And if you were at the back of the line, like being a gentleman like we were, they were gone, man. At one point, the celebration was going on so long, the ceremony was, that some of the dads snuck out in the back and just grabbed Mom's meatballs. They're like half left when we got there.
Yeah, it was getting pretty bad, like the meatball situation.
Because you can't fit everything in a crock pot. Like, you can only fit so many meatballs. And but anyway, we have them in debate sometimes when people do well and win tournaments, and it's great. It's awesome.
Bro, we eat. I fight to get more of those things.
It's good stuff. Anyway, that's uncommon. That's a picture of what is uncommon.
Yeah, like a lot of what we have read this summer, like the Iliad and the Odyssey, things that have lasted for long periods of time, not just because they're old, but because they actually are good.
Right, because they've been attested to be good. They've been proven to be good over centuries.
Yeah, those are the things that are uncommon. Right. So I kind of wanted to start off with this question. After hearing all of those explanations of the different categories, where would we put God's word?
I think it just transcends these categories. Yeah. Like, it is the measuring stick for these categories. Yes. You know?
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah.
Cause you can't, I mean, of course you'd want to say it's uncommon.
Right. Like, but I mean, my words will never pass away. Like, what else is going to last longer, you know, than God's words.
So it's almost unfair. Cause it's in a category all to its own. It is what God has written.
Yeah.
So how are you going to compare it to anything?
God is eternal. His words are eternal. The word, the Logos, Christ, is eternal. So, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Good easy answer. Easy answer.
Amen.
Next question.
I don't know. You take over.
Okay.
Next question.
I guess what I was going to say was, last thing is very important to this. So the common things can last a lifetime. Okay. So there are two ways we can think of common. Common is in like art, and common is in everyday things. So like bread is going to last forever, but it's still a common thing. Mm-hmm. But like some art, like Indy Wilson, 200 years from now, I don't know if we're going to be reading him,
Yeah.
And I think Indy Wilson would be okay with that. And I think we all would, because he's common. Now, uncommon things, like you pointed out, last a long time. Like Iliad, Homer, 3,000 years old almost.
I think it's really interesting to like, we kind of talked about this when we were finishing up Wing Feather, I think it was. But just like thinking about the things that have been written now, like, will those things become uncommon, or are they uncommon quality now?
I remember I read a pamphlet one time at a school, and it was like written right after COVID, and they were like, to all of you living in a dystopian hellscape, we're sorry for all of the dystopian novels that were totally wrong you're finding in all our libraries that have been burned down. But that was so true. Anyway, but then also second thing is like the idea of soul nourishment and soul detriment, right? Like the idea that uncommon things build up your soul. But sometimes aren't as appealing to our tastes, but also that the mediocre things can harm our soul.
Yeah, because of the flesh that is in us.
Right.
We naturally want and crave the things that are mediocre, the things of the flesh. And it is a conscious, everyday decision to choose things that are common. And the more and more you make those common decisions, the easier it should be to chase after those things that are common. But it's only going to be through the Holy Spirit that you want the things that are of God, the things that are uncommon, and going to be able to spend more time on them. I thought it was really interesting how we talked about, like, nowadays, how we spend our time, leisure time specifically, and that nowadays all we do in our free time is just mediocre things, like going and watching some random show that 2 weeks down the road, we're going to forget or even right after we watch it, we're going to be like, that was garbage. Why on earth did I watch that?
To be fair, a problem that I have right now with entertainment is that everything is mediocre. Like,
you could choose to pick something old. Like, he points out, like, somebody goes into an airplane bookstore, sees The Da Vinci Code or, you know, some old book like, you know, David Copperfield. And is like, I wish I could pick up David Copperfield. Actually, I think the example he uses is Paradise Lost. And he's like, oh, man, but Da Vinci Code is, you know, fun. So also, like, if you never change anything, then it's just going to remain mediocre. So that's what I would say. Anyway, the book opens up like this. The modern man is uncomfortably situated between two contradictory beliefs about art. On the one hand, we maintain that taste is profoundly important. On the other hand, we believe that taste is entirely a matter of personal preference. And so judging another man's taste is vulgar and senseless. So I think that's true.
Yeah.
We think that our taste is essential, but only really so far as it relates to expressing ourselves. And that's why it is important, but it's subjective to us. And so when someone critiques another person's taste, you're not critiquing the fact that their taste maybe isn't good. Mm-hmm. Like it should be taken as.
Yeah.
It's taken as, that's a personal affront to me because my taste is an expression of myself.
Yes.
Which we can talk about is largely a result of things that happened during the Enlightenment and which followed, like the French Revolution and Romantic Revolution.
He keeps going back to the French Revolution. And
yeah, every conservative Christian points back to the French Revolution as the fall of everything. So let's talk about, like, why we say that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, yeah. But even after that, like, just how, going back to what I just said, like, we spend so much time chasing after the things that are mediocre. When, like, even you look back 50 years ago, and he talked about just how the entertainment industry and how the internet has really ruined this horribly for us. And like, we've just made it that much harder for ourselves to want what is good and true and beautiful. But 50, 60, 100 years ago, in free time, what were people doing? They were learning how to sew, or they were learning how to ride a horse, doing things that actually were common and useful. Yes. Or reading Paradise Lost, or reading Beowulf. Like, I'm reading Little Women right now, and they're just talking about, oh, yeah, in my free time, I learned some French. Like, how? Like, it does convict me. It shows me, like,
it does.
Why on earth?
And he's opening his book. He's like, I haven't figured it all out either, you know?
Yeah, like, he talks about the catalyst or what drove him to write this book was, going in to see Jurassic World when he knew there was another movie playing in the same theater that was so much better for
his soul.
for his soul to ingest. And he still decided to sit through that whole movie and then try to explain and conjure up why Jurassic World was something, or Jurassic Park was something that he should have been watching instead of this other movie that was going to affect him, make him ask tough, hard questions, was going to grow him spiritually, mentally, into a better Christian, into the man that God wanted him to be. And instead, he chose the other thing. A
couple things I want to say, then I'm going to talk about Tanner's response to all this, okay? Because I want to engage Tanner in this conversation. But first thing to note is we choose things that is easy for us. So, like he says, good things are hard to like. Good taste is hard to acquire. It's hard for us to want to sit down and read Paradise Lost.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to want to watch a classic movie. It's hard for us to sit down for an hour and just study a painting. Mm-hmm. It is. Listen to Beethoven instead of Taylor Swift. But at the same time, that which is hard is that which is often beneficial for us. And we need to train ourselves to be better about that. You know, like he acknowledges, it's always going to be, okay, I love it. It's one point. He says, no one has ever accidentally finished Paradise Lost. Some people have accidentally finished an entire season of a bad TV show or have accidentally finished a bag of Doritos. Like, it's very easy to get sucked into this never-ending cycle of things that are harmful.
And that's what the mediocre is designed and
it's
intended
designed to
do.
Like pornographic in terms of how you consume it.
Something that's easily consumed, and just shoved away.
Right. Second thing I want to say was, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, about taste, I think.
Yeah, did I wreck your train of thought?
No, I had two things in my mind, and I was losing one of them. Yes. That our taste is indicative of something deeper of us. Okay.
Yeah.
So we fail to realize that taste can be objective. Like, our taste can be good or bad.
Yes.
And that we need to train our taste to that which is good. Mm-hmm. Such that taste is not an expression of ourselves. And insofar as it is, we want to be better. We want to be more like Christ, you know, and more like what he would like. Set our minds on things are above where Christ is. Yeah. But the thing is that it says something about our culture post-Enlightenment, right? The fact that even Christians today are making bad art, okay? It says something that the statues we see, the art we see in museums is crappy. Mm-hmm. Whereas the art in the medieval era and right of the Reformation was beautiful, stunning, captured.
Yeah, like every one of that trifecta, the good, true, and beautiful, right, must be upheld.
Right.
Like he talked about going to see the movie Friarproof. And like
yeah,
it is a Christian movie. It has
Kirk
a message.
Cameron, so it must be.
It has a message that is 100% something that we would support.
Right.
But was it made very well?
Right.
Like, did they pursue God with everything
was
they
good,
had in it?
Was it good and beautiful? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was good and it was true, but was it beautiful?
Yeah. And this is one other thing as well. Like, Christians, you know, back in the medieval era, the peak literature was Dante, the Divine Comedy.
Yeah.
They built cathedrals, man.
They spent hundreds of years. Yeah. He talks about the generational thing.
Right. True. Like, beauty was something you had to invest in because you knew that cathedral wasn't going to be built when you were alive,
yeah,
you know? It's so in some sense, like the art that has lasted, the uncommon art, is our inheritance. It's our heirloom. It's been built up. It's been that people that in the past didn't get to enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, people would die to have access.
And he talks about
this library that we're in right now with all the uncommon things that are in here.
Oh my goodness.
It would scoff at the abundance of mediocre things that are in here as well.
Yeah.
One of the things I was going to say was, like, that was what happened then. Now I have to ask my dad if that's going to be a church or a gym. Now I have to wonder if this movie is gonna, you know, cause me to implode instead of marveling at the painting and beauty. I have to read Left Behind to be like, why is this a thriller novel that is theologically incorrect and incoherent,
yeah,
in terms of characters, instead of looking back to, yeah, wonder at all the works of art that were produced in the context of Christianity. And so Christians have by and large bought into this lie about taste, about mediocre things. It have not
that art doesn't
tastes
matter, that things that give their all to God don't really matter.
Right.
Like, you just need
true
to.
And it's a good point. They're like, watching a Transformers movie isn't affecting me. It kind of is.
Yeah.
And
it's just driving you that bit further away from, yeah, God.
Okay. Tanner, sorry. Get in here. I know we're kind of running low on timer. Your thoughts so far? Any pushback? Anything you want to say here?
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with everything.
Yeah.
The problem is, I live in the media.
The problem is, you live in a rut. Yes.
Yeah.
I know. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get out of. This book it's convicted me, like Bryson said. And so that's the first step to doing something different, is being convicted, you know. But you can't stay there, I don't think. So,
yeah.
I think it's not like you're going to be perfect either.
I think one of the biggest things, though, like the biggest problems that we have in our culture now, is short form media.
Yeah, true.
Short form.
Being snappy and.
Steals my life.
Yeah.
In all honesty.
I talked about a scene, a paragraph describing, like, imagine you're in a movie and there's like this one shot of just like an empty room for like 3 minutes. Would you be willing to sit there? And most people like walk out of the theater like there's no cuts within 3 minutes, nothing happening. But yeah, you're right. I agree that short form media is something that is tearing our attention spans and ability to, because the mediocre, every time you consume it, it hurts your ability to consume the uncommon as well. So yeah, I agree with that. That's a good point.
Anyways.
Yeah. One of the points that he made was about, like, Christians and, like, worldview analysis, you know. It's overly simplistic. Like, a lot, mm-hmm, of it was critiquing Christians as well. Like, we need to get better.
Yeah.
But this book has really impacted, like, how I view art, how I view my interaction with culture, loving what lasts, yeah, things like that, having a good perspective. I would recommend it. Bryce and I agree. Like, it tapers off toward the end. And some of it can be – it's not, like, totally practical.
Yeah. A lot of it is just here's all this information. Here is why we've ended up here.
Think about this differently. Here's how, yeah. We didn't get into the Enlightenment from Trevolution. That stuff's really good.
Yes.
I'd recommend reading up about that. Like, just look at even how Christians today have bought into things which are not accepted before in Christendom, you know.
Yeah. And you can feel, like, as you read everything in there, I challenge you to read it and not feel everything ring true. Like, you just know it because of everything you're seeing,
yeah,
around you. And you feel it in your soul, too.
If you want to, like, before you buy the book, which you should do, there's a podcast. You know, the author's interviewed him, so you can find it. Classical Stuff You Should Know did one interviewing him. Joshua Gibbs, Love It Lasts. It's a good interview. Get you a taste of the book as well. But, yeah, totally just true in all his diagnoses, pretty,
yeah,
much.
There was one, I don't know if you were going to come around to this later, but there was one part towards the end that really was very practical. And he was talking about special days of the year and keeping those days special, keeping those days holy. And like, as Americans, we have done everything leading up to those special days and then making that special day that much less special. Right. And that much less holy and set apart.
Part of hidden in this is a church calendar thing as well, yeah. As modern evangelicals getting rid of the church calendar. We have the Christmas season instead of the 12 days of Christmas and the Feast of Christmas, which could be recovered.
Yeah, but then he went into talking about, like, really thinking about the movies you watch and why you watch them, the shows, the videos that you spend your time on. And there were plenty of movies in there that he suggested that I've gone and watched some of them. A lot of them have been hard to sit through and watch. Like, they do bring up really deep thoughts, good things that I need to be wrestling over, but they haven't been easy.
Yeah, I agree.
But he talks about, like, setting aside your year and planning to only watch, like, 12 movies in that year. 12 movies total, and that's baffling.
Well, I don't think he said that.
Was it 12?
I think what he said was, look, we spend so much time scrolling through movies. Like, what are we going to watch? What are we going to watch?
Pick planning ahead.
A movie you're going to watch. Put it down for a day. He says even rewatches movies on certain days. Like on, in Christmas or December 13th, he watches It's a Wonderful Life. In July, he watches, whatever movie. So it's putting days down. Like, I don't know, we'll rewatch this movie. Or even, like, my family's going to watch this movie on this date,
So that you're, not only not wasting time on deciding what you are going to watch, but longing for and expecting
in the moment, being reluctant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And being expectant for that movie that will eventually come and being excited about that moment and actually taking in everything that the author or the director or producer wanted you to see, wanted you to hear. Like every form of media, every form of entertainment has a message that it is trying to shove down your throat. And what is that message? Is basically
even
what
deeper
he's
than
about.
That, like, but just the themes. What are the impact this is going to have on your soul? Is it going to make you a better character, to use Andy Wilson's terminology?
Yeah.
Is it going to draw you closer to Christ? Is it going to challenge your taste? That kind of thing as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, Taryn, any final thoughts for you?
The calendar idea is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's a good idea. The other day, we were babysitting. Our parents are going out on, a date together, basically. It's kind of weird. My mom and dad were going to eat dinner with their mom and dad. And so we were all, deciding what to watch, and we spent like an hour. To where, like, it was 15 minutes before they got home, we were finally watching a movie. And I just thought of Love It Lost the entire time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that. We're not going to do any shout outs today, but we love you guys. Love It Lasts, buy the book, watch the interview. Really impactful to us in how you interpret art.
And send. I want y'all to all send hundreds of messages to Tanner saying that he needs to read
it. Yes, please. Start a petition. All right. Love you guys. We'll see you next time. Till then.
I'm booking it.